Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhdar.
And hello, greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in this beautiful Saturday, cool Saturday night. And I say cool because it is really cool. Yesterday was hot. We got some beautiful rain here in Missouri, where I am broadcasting with you tonight. And it is July the 10th of the year of our Lord 2021. And this is obviously your host, Usama Dakhdar. And with us tonight, as usual, our producer and the co-host, the one and the only one, Christy Johnson from Mississippi. And I do not know how is the weather down in Mississippi, but hello, Christy. And how are you?
Well, Usama, I'm doing fine, and the weather here is actually quite nice. I mean, for this time of year, it's cooler than usual, but it's because we've had rain. And I always say when we have this rain so late in the summer, it usually turns out, my experience, 30-some years of being here, that we don't have so many bad hurricanes coming here. So I am excited that it's been raining.
What? This is awesome. Maybe Joe Biden is doing the right thing. Think about it. It is cooler. It is not hot. Global warming is over. No hurricane. And we're going to save Mother Earth. And Allahu Akbar. What do you think of that?
I think that's ridiculous, as you know. Nope. I just believe that God is in control of the weather, and it has nothing to do with Joe Biden. However, I do want you to know that I'm not giving you that prediction based on anything other than what I think my observations for the last 32 years have been here. And I
could be wrong. Well.
But it's I tell you what,
if you're right, that means you're just a good predictor. If you're wrong, that means you're just a bad predictor. What do you think of that?
No, I think if I'm wrong, I'm just as good a predictor as the weather people are because they're not always
ready. Hey, Christy, I used to live in Florida, and I watched the news because I'm a painter, so I used to paint outside homes, you know. And I look at the guy to give me the news about the weather in the following day. And he said, the chance of rain tomorrow is 50-50. I said, you're kidding me. What is 50-50? It's a joke. 50-50 meaning maybe rain, maybe not. Only God knows. But then sometimes it's 80% chance of rain. So I talk to myself, you know what? I'm not going to work tomorrow. 80%. I mean, what is the chance for me even start rolling some walls outside or spraying the fish, whatever I'm doing? And we end with having beautiful day, no rain whatsoever. Another day, oh, the chance of rain 10% or so. So I said, well, 10%, I just go ahead and work. Well, I go to work and we got huge rain. I mean, you could even walk in the rain. You can't drive in the rain. So I don't believe those people have a clue. They do not have a clue what you're talking about. So if you are as good predictor as they are, maybe you need to quit predicting, okay?
Oh, all right. But I'll never stop praying because I tell you, you know, you get humbled when you have some terrible disaster from a hurricane, fires, those kinds of things, flooding. You know, you kind of realize that all of us exist on this planet by the grace of God. Seriously.
Amen.
So while we learn to pray in disasters, you know, we should also pray when we're not having a disaster.
Yeah.
So,
I like the movie Face Like Potato. Have you had a chance to watch that movie, Face Like Potato? It's a true story, by the way. It happened in Africa, a missionary, and it's a sad story, and I'm not going to talk about it because if I say it, then I'm going to ruin it for those who maybe like to go watch. Vicky told me, don't tell anything about any movie to anybody because you ruin the movie by telling exactly what's going to happen. So, but if you have faith, this is also in other movies. Maybe keep confusing two videos together, but the difference between a farmer who have a faith and a farmer who does not have a faith, that a farmer who have a faith, he fixes his field, he work hard on the ground, and he prepared for the seed, and he was put the seed in it, and he would trust on the Lord to send the rain and the right time for the seed to grow, to bring the harvest. But others who did not do anything because they said, well, maybe it will not rain. So maybe it will not rain. You don't trust the Lord. You don't have faith. When you stay lazy all summer, you don't work. Well, guess what? You feel no harvest. So we need to have faith in God that He is in full charge. He is in full control, not just of the weather, but everything else in our life. We have to trust in Him. We have to count on Him, and we'll go from there. Go ahead, Christine.
Well, you're breaking up a little bit, but it might be me. So if I have someone in the chat room that can tell me, let's see. I see somebody in the chat room, and I'm not sure, but if you want to tell me if you hear a breakup, that would help me because, anyway, hello, thanks for joining our chat room. I think a couple of our other friends will be in there in a minute. But anyway, Usama, I thought you said face. Like with eyes, nose, mouth, like a potato.
No, faith, F-A-I-T-H, faith. You trust in the
I
Lord.
I got
faith.
You. So,
not
I
faith.
I got you.
Faith. The T-H is.
Well, I know it's hard for you to enunciate that, but I just
the
want
F
to let
the
you
T-H.
Know. I just want you to know. I thought you said face like a potato, and I was going, what is that? Okay, now I got
no,
it.
No.
It's a movie.
Face like a potato.
I got
yeah.
you. Well, now, people, if you want to look it up, don't look for face like a potato. Look for faith. Faith. All right.
Have faith in God. Trust in the Lord, Chris.
Amen. I do. Obviously, we have to. But, you know, Usama, one of the things that I wanted to share about a program tonight, and it is really, I think, important for us to keep the faith in our heart when we look at the crazy things that are going on in America and around the world. And I have to tell you, I have never been so disheartened. And when I say that, I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff happen in America. I've watched cults rise up, and we know there are people who are involved in everything from witchcraft to false Christians who claim to believe things that come from the Bible, but they're teaching heresies, to satanic worship, there's so many things going on. And
I have to say this to you. Talking about false preachers, I've been watching the last few days at 3 o'clock in the morning. I turn my TV on so I can listen to some music or some noises. Sometimes I watch Tom and Jerry. Sometimes I watch black and white old cowboy movies, Gunsmoke. Anyway, but at 3 o'clock every day, this great preachers. I mean, now it used to be one. Now there's 10 of them, and they all talk about planting seeds. Give us money, plant seeds, and the Lord will bless you. I mean, prosperity is through the giving. You give $10,000 or you give $1,000, whatever number you come up with. I love it. 329 people are going to call and they give $1,000, whatever it is. Anyway. And he will tell you why he come up with this number. My beloved wife, she always gets mad at me when she wake up in the middle of the night hearing the same guy. She says, I told you I don't want to hear this idiot anymore. I'm sick and tired of it. Aren't you sick and tired
yeah.
of this false preacher, Christy Johnson? Aren't you sick and tired of it?
Well, of course I am. But you know what is so sad? Is this has infiltrated the minds of so many people that it has caused them to hate Jesus, to hate church, to hate Christians. And, you know, if there was ever a time in the United States of America where Christians would be hated, it's now. And we see this happening more and more. And these kinds of things are not helping. But the truth is, we're still going to have to trust the Lord. He is still the one who has the truth, salvation,
mm-hmm.
our hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's our responsibility to be a light in the world and to be salt and light. And we cannot back off of our responsibility to Jesus Christ, even if there are a lot of false Christians out there. It's all the more important that if you know the living God, if you know the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, you have to stand up for him. Don't back off and go to the corner and be quiet just because someone has had a very bad experience with a church. You know, I have family members who fall into this category where they've had a bad experience with a Christian or a bad experience with a church, and it's caused them to turn away from Jesus Christ. And you know, it's a great sin to turn someone away from the Lord, but it's also the sin of silence. You know, if we're silent because someone has been wounded, then we're not taking the opportunity to try and heal them from that damage. And I've just had the experience in just, I don't know, seems like the Lord's had me doing a lot of ministry recently. And a lot of times that's what you're dealing with, brokenhearted people who did not get help in the church. It caused them to become bitter. Maybe they went off to say, well, I don't believe in Christianity anymore, or I don't believe in Jesus anymore. But we can't give up because, like I said, our job is to show the love of the Lord and continue to teach and preach the truth in spite of what other people may be saying, other criticism.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, it's a time in our life where we have to literally, you know, because I have to confess to you, the last 10 days or so now, I have not watched any news. I feel you will not believe how peaceful I am for not watching the news. I just don't want to trust in the media, period, even the conservative, the One American News, or my pillow guy, Mike Lindell. I don't want to watch anything. I'm getting tired of it, and now I have peace. I think 2 hours, 3 hours watching ridiculous news back and forth, some of it make you a little bit hope, and some make you a little bit angry, and some make you a little bit, one of the spend 2 minutes, read a couple of pages from the Bible. Just pick up a couple of chapters and read them and pray and let it go. Just let it go. We will wait until when it's happening, it will happen. I'm just tired, Chris. You talked to me for the last few days, and I told you, did you hear this? I said, nope. Did you hear this? I said, nope. I am busy working on my studio, and I don't have time. I don't have time to watch
Usama,
TV. Yes, ma'am.
You're breaking up a little bit. I mean, I don't think it's me, so...
I can repeat. That's no problem. What I'm saying is this. I quit watching news for the last 10 days, and I have so much peace now than I ever had before. I'm super busy working in my new studio. Believe it or not, last week we finished the framing inside. First, of course, I finished the building outside, this beautiful steel, green roof, creamy color walls, all steel, which lasts a long time. Hopefully, prayerfully, that the Lord will come before something happens to that building. But I finished the wiring. I finished the framing inside. I finished the insulation. I finished the drywall today. So now we're going to do some taping and mudding and texturing and painting. All this coming up in the next week. So lots of prayer will be awesome. And if somebody want to help, come on down. We'd love to have you to help. But anyway, but in the meantime, I'm counting on you that you'll be the ears and the eyes to hear what's going on in the news and if something really important happens, you call me. You let me know. That's how I look at it right now.
Well, that's fine because, Usama, you know, I've been watching the news since I was like maybe 8 years old. I maybe are younger than that because that just seemed to be something that in my life was encouraged. My mom always read the paper, watched the news. I always listened to her tell me things that were in the newspaper. And when I could read it myself, I read it and I watched the news. But yes, I understand it is crazy to try and discern truth from error. And it is very disturbing, the things that you learn that are going on. But I will say one thing. I watch the news with a mind for how I need to pray and how I need to encourage other people in my family because I'm seeing now I have a lot of adult children and grandchildren in my family now, and they're getting their news from very poor sources, some of them. And I feel like I have an obligation to know as much as I can about what's being said on the mainstream media, to pay attention to what's also being shared on the more conservative internet. I don't find any news station that I can trust 100% on the mainstream media. I do enjoy and feel pretty confident about things I see on OAN, on the internet, on Worthy News, which I would tell you Worthy Christian News is a very, very good resource. It has devotionals, prayer, a Bible, and their Bible on there is really good because it's a parallel Bible. And they have strong concordance. I mean, lots of resources on Worthy Christian News. And they cover news around the world. And that's why I pay attention, because we got so many Christian stories of Christians being persecuted around the world. And the Lord says it's our obligation to pray for them. But it's coming closer and closer, as you know. We have problems bubbling up in India, and quite a famous or well-known, he's not famous here, I don't believe, in the United States, but in India, one of the pastors, well-known, was beaten to death. And he was sharing the gospel with someone, obviously someone who wasn't saved. And he'd been sharing with him for about 10 weeks. His wife told a story about this. And the guy came up from behind him, hit him in the head, and knocked him off of his bike, and then continued to hit him in the head with a large board. And killed him.
That is the same gentleman whom he was ministering to?
Yes, yes. So it's one of those things where I can tell you what, you might get a dirty look from someone you share the gospel with in your neighborhood, but that's okay. You know, we can withstand those things, but there are Christians that seriously are putting their life on the line to share the gospel. And it's shocking that this happened in India, but we're seeing more and more persecution against Christians in India now. And, of course, in the Muslim countries, everywhere.
It reminds me, remember the testimony I shared with you guys, 3 years ago or so, maybe 4 years ago, my nephew's friend, who was a roommate with a Muslim guy. And he walked in the church on a Sunday night, and on Monday they found his head was in the garbage can, this garbage container, the big steel container. Well, they are asking other people if anybody know who is this person from the head alone, and that is when my nephew's friend saw the head, and he said, "Yes, I know him. he is so-and-so. So he went to the house to see his roommate, who is a Muslim guy, and they found that his roommate is cutting the rest of his body to small pieces so he can dispose it in different garbage containers all over the city of Alexandria. And when the police asked him, why did you do that? Why did you kill and cut your roommate's body? He said, because he was an infidel and he was trying to make me an infidel. So the crime our Christian brother did in Egypt, which caused him his life, was simply because he shared the gospel with this Muslim guy and he's trying to make a believer out of him. That is the punishment for his crime. Can you imagine here in America, you said something, Christy, that we get upset or whatever when somebody gives us a dirty look for sharing the truth with them. What a sissy Christian we are. What a wimpy Christian we are. So what even if they slam the door in your face? So what if they throw some garbage or some poop on your face? Big deal. Big deal. And that's not going to happen in America. Most likely the worst going to happen to you, somebody say, I'm not interested. Thank you. Goodbye. That's the worst is going to happen in America when you share the truth of the gospel with somebody. And if it is your neighbor, trust me, he will not be that rude to you because, after all, he's a neighbor. And if it's a family member, so what? We're going to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're going to love our family members as ourselves to lead them to Christ.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Summit. And that's why, again, I think it's important that we understand, and what I wrote in the description of the show tonight, I was saying that America seems to be rushing to the judgment of God. Can Christians change the fate of a nation? And I said, yes. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Yeah, we're supposed to be the salt and light. But that part about humbling yourself, I think that's what you're talking about right there, Usama. You have to be prepared for someone to dislike you or maybe be rude to you if you're sharing the gospel. I think sometimes Christians have got caught up in this idea that, well, I'm going to show them what a wonderful Christian I am by the way I live. There's nothing wrong with that. But they also think that this is going to cause people to like them and to love them. And so it's like the Christians are trying to be loved more than they're trying to show the love and forgiveness that Jesus has called us to. If your neighbor gets angry with you or they don't like you because you're a Christian, we are supposed to love them anyway, pray for them anyway, even if they're our enemy. We're supposed to forgive them and continue to pray for them. Mm-hmm. And that's it. You have to be humble to do that. And I think God humbles us also by seeing the problems that are happening in our country right now. We see many things that I, as a Christian, I'm very disturbed about politically. Okay. I know you haven't been watching the news lately, and that's okay. But the truth is Christians are being portrayed as insurrectionist, violent people, ugly, wicked, violent individuals. And I watched this on the mainstream news. My son had said something to me, and I got into a disagreement with him because he was portraying these people who went to the Capitol on January 6th as being wicked people, violent people. They went up there to overthrow the government. They killed police officers. My son, who is very bright, he's not following the Lord, but he's a very smart person, intelligent. And he said this to me. I couldn't even believe what he was talking about. I thought he was, watching some bizarre left-wing thing on the internet, and you know, he's saying that all of the people up there were white supremacists, Nazis, racists. These are the three words he said. And I said, look, I know people that were there. I know the Christian pastors that were there. You're calling them Nazis, racists, and white supremacists? There were Asian people there, Hispanic people there, black people there. He told me, no, you don't know what's going on there. I said, I know what was going on there. I said, are you saying that about me? I was going to go. I wanted to go. You calling me a racist, a Nazi, white supremacist? See, my son knows me, but he knows nothing about what happened up there. And I watched on the mainstream news. This is what they are saying. That is what they are saying about Christians that were there. They were Christians are evil. that's crazy. I was really shocked when I saw this.
When they generalize it and say white supremacists, there were more black people there, godly Christian black people, that the idea to call them white supremacy is a comedy, because what about me, Christy? I'm not a white guy. I know nothing about racism. I'm an Egyptian. I'm a son of Ham. I'm a son of the father of all colored people. So how can you put me in this category? How about the rest of the black godly men? Still godly Christian preachers, black men were preaching and teaching in the streets around the monument, everywhere we had there. It was a very good time. It was a great time, but the devil knew how to twist everything. And we are living in the end of time, and woe to those who call evil good and good evil. So now, all Christians are evil? And who is the good? The baby killer? The gay and lesbian? The immoral people are the good one? Yes, indeed, that's true, because we are in the end. And that's exactly what's going to happen from now on.
You know, and that's why I said, can Christians change the fate of a nation? I would dare tell you, they are the only ones who can. It isn't the Republican Party or even the conservatives. It's certainly not those who don't believe in God at all. It is only the Christian people. Seriously, and faithful Jewish people, they're the only ones who can literally change the fate of America, and I hope they do. I believe it has happened in the past that Christians changed the fate of America. I know because of revivals that happened here in this country in the past. But guess what didn't happen? In the time of Hitler, the Christians did not change the fate of a nation. And that is how Hitler rose to power. And the Christians did not do their job to stand up against it. Some of them did, but there were so few of them. And the majority who called themselves Christians did not do anything about what was happening. So here we go, folks. This is the chance for those who believe in Christ, who are called by his name, to humble themselves. And we should be humbled as Christians as we see what's going on in our government, as we see what's going on in the abortion clinics, as we see what's going on our border. All these are indications of the United States of America being brought to its knees to judgment. And I'm sad to say that, but I think most Christians can sense that. I think they sense that.
Yeah. And I believe if this is the end of time, see, because I do not know, Christy, and you do not know, and nobody knows. If this is the end of the story, which we know, we read the last chapter, we know how it's going to end, that means things are going to get worse. But I still believe it could be a pump on the road. A pump on the road means what? Means the Democrats will show their real color with all what they're doing. The American people will wise up and rise up, and in a year from now, we're going to be in the serious time of the midterm election where the Democrats will lose 60, 70, who knows, maybe 80 seats. It will be a great shocking, and then Mr. O. Biden will be sitting in the White House doing nothing for the last 2 years of his career or his life, And in the end of it, we're going to have ourselves a good conservative president, maybe Trump, maybe somebody else, and we'll win the Senate also with a large majority. And we can do the garbage and the waste which these people have done in these sick 2 years and the rest of the 4 years of old Biden. So
yeah.
Maybe this is the scenario. Maybe it's the other scenario. Only God knows if we are in
that's
the
right.
end or there's a or we are on a pump on the road.
Yeah, and that's the whole point. If for us to stop the ministry of the gospel because of fear, that is exactly what the devil wants us to do. We don't give up because the Lord has you here for a reason. If you are alive and you are a believer in Christ, your life is in the hands of the Lord, and you're called to be his servant. He has things for you to do. If he didn't have anything more for you to do, and you've done all that you were called to do, I mean, you could start saying, hey, Jesus, I'm ready to go home. But most of us know that there's more that we need to do and that we have more opportunities. I hope people realize the greater the craziness going on and the evil that is rising up, the more that people need to see the light in your life, the more that they need to know the reason for the hope that's in you. I will always have hope in Jesus no matter what. But anyway, for our time, yeah, this might be it. This could be it. I mean, we don't know. Anyway, Yusam, I did want to share a couple of other stories quickly. And then I also, yeah, I want to say hi. I think my brother's listening on the phone. So he gets to tune in sometimes. I'm getting ready to do a prayer thing at our church. I'm so excited about this that it's been years, I'd say 20 years, since I specifically knew of a church doing something like this. We're going to have, like, prayer where people come in to pray so that during extended number of hours, there'll be someone in the church praying all the time. And the needs for people, they're going to be put out on the tables with just a simple prayer request for different things. Different people, different situations. And I'm excited to see that. This is, you know, about humbling yourself and praying. So we're going to be praying for the needs. And one of the things is to pray for people around the world who are being persecuted, for Christians in America. Believe it or not, there's Christians in America that are being persecuted right now. So one of the other things I want to pray about is we've got a lot of people that are friends of ours in this part of the country where I live. Lots of people are in the military, and now they're coming out and saying all the military will be required to take COVID vaccines starting December 1st. I mean, not December 1st, September 1st. So please be praying for those people in the military who do not want to take this COVID vaccine. My sister, who's one of these people I'm going to pray for, she had the COVID vaccine that she took. And for the last probably at least a month and a half, she's been experiencing side effects from that. And we know a lot of people have had no problems, but others have had serious side effects. So I'm praying that our friends who are in the military will not be compelled to do this. When you're in the military and you disobey an order to do anything, you can be put into military prison and court-martialed. It's a very serious problem. So be praying for our friends in the military.
Amen.
I think I also wanted to share real quickly, and I put this in the slideshow. I got some reactions to this particular picture, and there's a good reason. I took this picture off of a video news report I had shared before about how China was editing the Bible in their textbooks on the teachings about Christianity. they have changed the story of the woman who was being stoned to death. You know this story where they were going to stone yeah. this woman because she was caught in adultery. This is how they changed the story from the Bible. It says, this is a Chinese textbook calls Jesus a murderer. It says, when the crowd receded, this is after Jesus challenged them and said, he who's without sin, cast the first stone. And they all left. The Chinese textbook here says that when the crowd receded, Jesus stoned the woman to death, saying, I too am a sinner, but if the law could only be executed by men without blemish, the law would be dead. Can you believe this? There are many Christians, many Christians in China, but they're teaching this to destroy two things, saying that Jesus is a sinner and yep, he
and
murdered
he the
woman.
He did not stone. Yeah.
That is not what happened. But
that's
there's
the work
reasons.
Of the devil.
Yes, there's reasons why the Chinese government is teaching this now to their law students. And this is why we need to pray for Christians in around the world and what is going to happen to people who deny this and say, that's not what happened. That's not what the Bible says. So now we know why they have to change the Bible. Because this is what they're teaching to their law law and administration class. So that means yeah. there's no mercy. Jesus was a sinner. Guess what? If Jesus was a sinner, he cannot be your Savior. He could not die for your sin. This is denying sure. who Christ is. And I added to the slideshow the verses from 1 John where it says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a
Second.
Deceiver and an antichrist. 2 John verse 7, I'm
Second
sorry.
John.
Then also 2 John 10:11, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, meaning about Christ being the Savior, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil ways. This mm-hmm. is what we are seeing attacked, and this is the guidance of the Word of God. We can't allow that to continue. You can't ignore that and just say, oh, yeah, I know that's what you believe. Go on. It's sad.
Mm.
Very sad. Very crazy. But yeah. I wanted to share yeah. that with y'all because that's what's going on in China. And I'm familiar with several Christians in China.
Yeah.
I know they believe the Bible, the Word
sure.
of God. They don't believe
you
that.
Know what, Christy? You know what, Christy? The Holy Spirit is so powerful. He is the Spirit of God. He is God, the third person of the head of Christ, of our God. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit together are in China. Together. I mean, I don't believe the Christian will be deceived by this corruption
no.
the Chinese put in the Bible. Especially when they got saved, they heard the true account. They know the true story. And the more they do these garbage things, the more the stronger the church will be. It's natural. You know, if the Chinese people, if the Chinese government want to end Christianity in China, they just make it legal. They just make everybody welcome to become a Christian. In that case, when things go easy, I guarantee you, the church in China will go in a coma, go to sleep. But the stronger the persecution, the stronger the church. This is the nature of God's move in planet Earth for the last 2,000 years. You will never see a country who are persecuted and the church is weak. But it's always stronger. The blood of those who will be killed for Jesus is the fertilization for the earth for more and more believers come to know Christ. This is reality. And I know we don't like persecution. We don't want to be hurt. We don't want to be suffering. We don't want to be dead for Christ. But guess what? He who loses his life for my sake, he will find it. And who will keep his life will lose it. It is the teaching of Jesus. Nothing new, Christy. Nothing new about our walk with Christ and how God rewards those who are willing to suffer for him. This is the nature of Christianity.
Well, this is going to be a good revival, I pray, because we have Christians in Afghanistan who are very fearful because our military is leaving. We understand and know that there was no way the United States could ever make Afghanistan a Christian nation. However, there are Christians there. Again, we need to pray for them because we see already how the Middle East is beginning to be lit on fire again, just like it was under Obama and Biden administration. Now under Biden's administration, we're seeing the same kind of thing, the same weaknesses, the same foolish mistakes. I say foolish because Biden doesn't know anything about Islam, and he is completely misguided on almost everything that he is doing in terms of foreign policy. So Canada's having problems. And tell us some good news about, good news about that. No, not any good news about what's going on in Canada, but you told me we're going to have a chance to have some special guests next week.
Well, I know one of the preachers who were put in prison in Canada. He is now in the state, and I am in connection with Brother Dale Walker, Pastor Dale Walker, who had him the last few days with the governor of Tennessee, and he had him to speak in different places. So I asked Brother Dale, will we be able to have him to be in our show? He said, absolutely. As a matter of fact, we will do our best to have him on Crosstalk with Brother Jim Schneider. And also we would love to have him on Mike Lindell TV and maybe also Brandon House Worldview Weekend or the Daily Program, which is, Worldview Weekend shows. So we're gonna get a little bit publicity for him in different Christian TVs and radios. But I'm hoping next Saturday we'll have him on our show, because the following Saturday was Brother Sam Shimon will be actually with me here in my home in Missouri. And hopefully when he's here, we're going to have him to the whole couple hours of apologetics teaching on whatever topic the Lord put in his heart. Unless you guys have questions you want to ask him, that'll be awesome as well.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited because of hearing about that. We know that these Christian pastors who really been in shocking levels of persecution, being arrested, their churches being closed. And we don't think of Canada as being a place where Christians would be persecuted, but this obviously is going on. We need
Christy, how many imams in Canada was put in prison for leading a mosque prayer?
I don't think any of them were, actually. That's it. Well, some good news. We'll end on some good news. Again, sure. Christians being persecuted in Iran, ministers being arrested in Nigeria. We've already talked about the persecution everywhere. Uganda, Uganda is very troubling, because when I was in my teens or early 20s, I read a book about Idi Amin, who was the president of Uganda, and he was rumored to have eaten people. It was really awful, because I didn't know too much about Uganda, and I did not understand anything about Islam. But I read about this man, and it was horrible. Maybe some of my older people will remember this. But this was under a Muslim president. And again, now we see in Uganda a pastor burned to death. And a note left telling him because he was an enemy to Islam. This is what he reaped. They burned him to death. So, again, we have all these very violent examples. And I'm sorry, in Nigeria, it wasn't the minister killed, although there have been in the past. This was 140 students kidnapped from a Baptist school in Nigeria, and they're asking for prayer, too. It's just unbelievable, the level of persecution, and I always read about this, even under Trump, you know, I would find stories about this, but not as many as we're seeing now. And again, it's a sign of the end times we may be facing. But the good stories are that, and I was surprised about this, that there's been more laws passed, pro-life laws passed in 2021. This is the previous record was in 2011, and there's been 90 pro-life laws passed in this year so far in 2021. And I believe God is answering our prayers, but again, the liberals and the they call themselves pro-choice, but you don't have a choice about the vaccine, just about killing your baby. So these bills are being fought. You know, states like my own here in Mississippi, they're trying to overturn legislation that was passed here. Abortions are very minimal here because of laws that were passed, and many other states are doing the same, but they want to tear these down. The liberals want to tear these down and kill babies. Some politicians have said you ought to be able to kill your kid even up to the age of 2. Can you imagine that? It's sick.
2 years old.
Yeah. No, they're not really human at that age, right? Oh, my gosh.
Well, let me ask a question. If they can kill baby after birth, why not grown-up men kill grandpa and grandma when they get old?
They will. I mean, that's what they want to do. Ultimately, I'm not sure that that isn't what they've been doing with these vaccines and stuff. And with
God help us. God help us, Christy. God help us.
Yeah.
Anything else before we move to our study? Because I really have a lot of material. I'm going to be moving on to it. Any other
information? Well, we'll be ready. But I just want to tell you, some of you always have a lot of material, so I'm ready to get to it because I know we don't have enough time. Here we go.
Amen. Here is the deal. Let me introduce what we're talking about here. We are, ladies and gentlemen, in chapter 37 in the Quran, chapter 37, as we continue to investigate Abraham, the account of Abraham in the Quran. As we already know from our previous study, Muslims believe that the Quran is a revelation of God. It's given to Muhammad. And how can Muhammad know all these things about all these different character and different personality and different stories in the Quran unless it is a true revelation from God? No, we say it is not a revelation from God. It is a fabrication of Muhammad. It is a counterfeit. It's not just a counterfeit, Christy. It is a dumb, foolish counterfeit. It's a comedy. Why do I say that? Normally, when people make a counterfeit, they are trying to make, say, the $20 bill very, very, very close to the point. Average people, if you don't work in a bank, you hold a $20 counterfeit in your hand, and you think you got the real $20, not realizing it's a counterfeit. Why? Because you keep everything in detail as best as you can to the original $20. But can you imagine with me, Christy, if I give you $20 instead of have Jefferson, Mr. Jefferson, the president's picture. I will put my picture on it, okay? And instead of it is a triangle shape, I'll make it a square $20. And instead of the green color, I'll make it purple or maybe a pink color. Of course, any person who have logic or common sense who have seen a $20, a real $20, when you hold that counterfeit, you laugh. It's a counterfeit. Now, the Quran is even worse than that. The Quran is worse than that. So we move on our study to Quran chapter 37 to learn more about Abraham, which does not fit with the real biblical account. And tonight we're going to look at a couple passages from the Bible to show you where Muhammad confused the biblical account of Abraham by other biblical account in the Bible, the book of Daniel and the book of Judges. So if you got the Quran ready, Christy.
Yes,
Quran,
we do.
Chapter 37, we're going to start reading from verse 83. 37 okay. And beginning from verse 83.
All right. You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
And surely of his sect was Abraham.
Who is his sect? What Muhammad was talking about before that, Christy?
I can only tell you the
what
verse.
What I want to do is this. What I want to do is I want to go back. I want to go back to find out what Muhammad talked about just to make sure we're on the same page. We're on the same page. So it's Quran chapter 57, and we're not going to go to 83. Let's go a little bit earlier to see what he's talking about.
Okay, I'm changing to chapter 87. I mean,
he's
which
talking
one?
About Noah. Noah. If you go to verse 70, Salamun ala Nuh fil alamin.
Okay, Usama, I missed what chapter. You're saying go to a different chapter?
No, the same chapter.
Okay, thank you.
Chapter 57.
I got you.
57 and verse 79. So read 79 to get to 83 to know what he's talking about. Yeah.
Yes, here we go. Peace be on Noah in the worlds. Likewise, we surely reward the doers of good. Surely he is among our believing servants. Then we drowned the others.
Now, if we stop here for a minute, how many people were with Noah? By the way, Ibn Kathir and others, because they will give you 28, I believe the smallest number, 300 plus the largest number. See, it's not just Noah was a good guy, but there were other believers with Noah, other believers who believed in Noah, who went into the ark. And amazingly, when we in the future do a study for Noah, you find that Noah had one son, and that son drowned. But another place that Muslim scholars tell you, no, he had more sons. As a matter of fact, they will make one of his grandsons, which is Canaan, to be one of his sons. But anyway, to make the long story short, now we go to verse 83. And verse 83 said what?
And surely of his sect was Abraham.
Wow, Muhammad got this right. Abraham is one of the descendants of Noah. Of course, everybody in this world that is alive is a descendant of Noah. Hello, everybody else drowned. But anyway, keep going.
When he came to his Lord with a sound heart.
Wow, really? You mean Abraham was with a sound heart? He came to the Lord? You see, backwards, Christy. Biblically, the Lord called Abraham, not Abraham came to the Lord. Nobody can come to the Lord. You and I, by nature, run away from the Lord. We are not because of our sin, because the sin nature in us, we don't go to God. We run away from God. Adam and Eve, after they ate of the tree, they did not run to God. No, they were hiding from God. They're trying to escape God. And from that day until today, every man and every woman does not run to God, but run away from God. But somehow Muhammad in the Quran made him a man with good heart, and he was running to God. I'm sorry. God called Abraham. Abraham did not go to God. Keep going.
When he said to his father and his people, what are you serving?
One more time. Who are his people? Did Abraham have, like, the rest of his family he's talking to? Did Abraham preach to his father and to his family? Did he make the same about whatever they were worshiping? No. We go to Genesis account. We found that God called Abraham out of the city of Kildanin, and he, his father, his brother, his son-in-law, his nephew, traveled together. The brother, which is Lot, by the way, Muslims cannot tell you what is the relationship between Lot and Abraham. Even though every time we read in the Quran the story of Abraham, somehow you see Lot come with him, Lot come with him, Lot come with him. In many of the religious stories which we covered in the previous chapters, Christy,
yes?
You're making a little bit loud noise here. So,
okay.
Abraham.
I'm sorry. I just turned a page. I was writing. So
I know
it must have made a loud
really
noise.
Loud in my phone here, but that's okay. And so, Abraham, every time you read about Abraham, anywhere in the Quran, you found Lot. But if you ask Muslims, it doesn't matter who anybody, who's Lot? Oh, Lot and his people. How is Lot related to Abraham? They do not know. They do not know that he is his nephew. So, in a simple word, Abraham did not speak to his father because his father was traveling with him. Abraham did not speak to his people because he was not sent, or as he messaged his people, God simply called him out of the city of Kildanin, and he was traveling, believing in God, and God considered this this action of Abraham and his belief to be righteousness. Okay? His righteousness because he believed in God, even though he did not know where he's going to. He traveled, he left his city, and he left his family. Okay? So, now listen to verse 85.
When he said to his father and his people, what are you serving? You want me to do 86 because I read? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Do you desire false gods without Allah?
Okay. Once again, he did not know Allah to be a god according to the Quran because he himself worshipped the false god. We read in the Quran, Abraham worshipped the sign, the star, and the following day he worshipped the moon, and the following day he worshipped the sun. And because they disappeared on the daytime, he decided, you know what? Or the sun disappeared at dark at night, when the sun set, of course. He decided to search for God. Once again, it's not biblical. If this is the case, we know for sure Abraham was a mushrik. He was a polytheist. He worshipped more than something with God. Keep going.
So what do you think of the Lord of the worlds?
He's going to teach him about the Lord of the world, Satan? Who is the Lord of the world, Christy?
Satan.
Why did Abraham did not know that he's talking about the wrong God? That's the problem. When Muslims read that verse in the Quran, not realizing that the Lord of this world, the God of this world, is the devil. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Next verse, 88.
So he looked carefully at the stars.
Whoa. Why are you looking at the stars? Why? If he already knows the Lord of the world, if he knows the real God, and he's trying to teach his people about the real God, why in the world, in the following verse, from 87, he talks about the Lord of the world, thinking that it's a real God, okay? Now, in 88, he's now thinking about worshiping the stars? I thought we're done with that. But, of course, Muhammad repeats the story, not realizing that it was not just the stars. It was a star, and then the moon, and then the sun, which is another star. Obviously, neither Muhammad nor Muslim knows the difference between a sun and a moon and whatever stars he was worshiping. But in any way, so what happened in verse 89?
So he said, surely I am sick.
Why Abraham was sick?
I don't know.
Yes, because he looked at the stars, he becomes sick, or because he worshiped the stars and he found no answer prayer, he got sick in his stomach. Christy, I look at the stars. When I look up outside, when it's a cloud and when it's a clear sky, and I look at the stars and they're bright shining. I mean, man, oh, man, what a beautiful thing. If you go outside of the city and you look at the sky at night and you see the bright shining star, you don't get sick, Christy. You get this joy and peace. Wow. How great is is our God who created the millions and millions of galaxies. And each and every one of these galaxies have hundreds and hundreds of millions of stars. And all these we can see this tiny, tiny, bright, shiny light in the sky. What a great God he is. Note, I never got sick from looking at the stars, Christy. Have you?
Me neither. No, I love to do that.
Do you know anybody especially when he looks at the stars gets sick? Except Abraham. Abraham looked at the stars in verse 88, and in verse 89, somehow he got sick. So what happened in verse 90?
So they turned their backs from him.
The stars left Abraham. He looked at the stars all night long. Of course, he gets sick and tired in the morning, and now the stars disappeared. Actually, it did not disappear. There's the sun. Light came in, and now it is daytime, so you cannot see the stars. You have to see in the dark. But what does this have to do with anything?
It's very bizarre.
Do we read about that anywhere in the Genesis account?
No, we don't.
So what did Muhammad do here? He added to Abraham. He took so much away from the Abraham account, and he added the Abraham account. And if we go to the book of Revelation, chapter 22, in the last paragraph, we find out no one should add or take away from the description. That's exactly what this ignorant Muhammad did. All right, let's go on. Next verse.
Then he turned to their gods, so he said, "Will you not eat?
Are you out of your mind? You're talking to statues made out of rocks and wood or stone or silver or gold or brass, and you ask them, will they eat?" 92.
Why can you not talk?
Wow. Abraham, because I think you're a dummy, or because they're just statues. Statues do not talk. Even though Allah in the Quran said, the earth speak and everything speaks. The tree will speak, as Muhammad said, before the end of time. And they would say, oh, peaceful Muslim. The rock will speak, and they would say, oh, peaceful Muslim. There's a Jew hiding behind me. Come and behead him. So, the statue did not talk to Abraham, but guess what? They would be talking according to Muhammad. Keep going.
So he fell on them, striking them with the right hand.
Wow. He literally break the idols. He break the statues. After, he mocked them because they did not talk and they do not eat. Keep going.
So they came to him in haste.
Who these are that came to him in haste? His family.
Yeah.
His people, his father and others. It is the repeated message of the Quran. Abraham talked to his father. Abraham talked to his people, tried to invite them to God. But in the same time, as we read here in the same chapter, even though he really tried to invite them to the God of the world, he is worshiping the stars. After he invited them to the God of the world. I mean, can you see the order, Christy? You know how stupid this is? Maybe you should put in the right order. First, he worshiped the stars, and then he got sick. The star did not hear his prayer. The star did not satisfy his need, his spiritual need. And then he found the God of the world, and then he worshiped the God of the world. No, he's telling the people, you're worshiping the false God, and blah, 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 and worship the God of the world. And then he starts worshiping the stars, and then the stars left. I mean, is this verse Does these verses look like to you, like written in the right order, Christy?
No, it looks like it's completely confused.
Somebody confused the verses. I will put them in the right order, I will make Abraham first look at the stars and worship the stars, and then the star disappeared, and then he finds the Lord of the world, and then he starts talking to his people about, you worship the false gods, your God does not talk, your God does not answer, and let's worship the Lord of the world. But it's in the right order, even though he's talking about Satan, but just put them in the right order. No, he believed. He does not believe. He worships other things. And then he believes, and then he mocks them, and then he breaks them with his right hand. Wow. So he did not use his left hand at all when he was breaking these idols. Huh, Christy?
It says he used his right hand.
What about the left hand?
I don't know.
You don't know. All right. So let's stop here for a minute. Let's stop it for a minute. I want you to go with me to the biblical account, because I think it's very important to know where Muhammad got the confusion. So if you do not mind, Sister Christy, if you will bless me, go to the book of Judges, chapter 6. The book of Judges, chapter 6. To see about who is the person who idols or statues down. Was it Abraham or somebody else?
Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. I pulled the other one up first. I'm sorry, but
that's okay.
Judges 6. We're
going to begin from verse 25.
All right. Okie doke. And Nick, you ready for me to read it?
Yes, ma'am.
Start at 25?
Yes, ma'am.
And when it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock.
That is Gideon. Gideon, who also have another name, which is Gideon is the biblical name in my Arabic Bible. Or also in verse 32, we know that he has the other name was Yarbal or Gideon. Okay, so go ahead.
Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down.
Mm-hmm.
Go on?
Yes, ma'am. I need to read the whole story.
Okay.
Yes,
okay. I didn't know. I thought you were stopping me at first. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one has cast down his altar. Therefore, on that
that's
day...
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. Good. And with all respect, my dear friends, you can go to the rest of the chapter 6 of the book of Judges and see how the Lord used Gideon to bring a great victory against all the enemies of Israel. the story is there. Anybody can go and read it. But now, for now. So who is the one who breaks the Baal altar and did this great work? Even I mean, with all respect, we say he was afraid. Yes, he was afraid. He did that much. Yes, he did that much. But he is the one who did it, not Abraham.
Yeah.
Abraham
did not
destroy any God. When Abraham left Babel to go to the land of Canaan, he did not break one idol. He did not damage one statue. He did not worship any stars, any moon, or any sun.
Yeah.
So,
he
biblically,
just...
we know Muhammad was confused, mixing stories together. Now, let's go back to our Quran, Christy, and let's see the punishment which Allah put on Abraham according to what is written in the Quran. What happened to Abraham after that? Okay?
Okay. Which verse? There we go. 95. He said, "Do you serve what you carve?" And go on.
Mm-hmm.
"And Allah created you and what you do." They said...
Wait a minute. Allah created them and what did they do? What did they do in verse 95?
Do you serve what you carve?
Okay, so their handwork was carving God, carving statues.
Yeah.
Allah, he is their creator, and he is the God of the gods they were carving? Are you following the verses here, Christy?
Well, yeah, it says that Allah created you and what you do, so he's like the creator of the idols, it sounds like.
Exactly. I mean, the context. Look at verse 95. Look at verse 96. In 95, they were carving God. But it's Allah is your creator and what you do. What did you do in verse 95 about carving God?
Yeah.
So here is the judgment. Here is the punishment. Here now they got angry. They got mad. By the way, the same story is repeated in different words as we already talked about. I'm not going to repeat myself 300 times. If you want to really enjoy to see the foolishness and the contradiction of Muhammad's writing, put the Quran verses next to each other. We're talking about the gods you were worshiping and how he damaged the gods. And obviously he did not tell us in that verse that he kept the biggest one. Remember we read the story before, Christy? And Abraham damaged all the gods except the biggest one, and he put his tool, his big sledgehammer on his shoulder, and they said, "Who did this?" He said, the biggest idol here, the biggest god,
he is the one
who did it. Well, when we read the story here, Christy, in Quran chapter 67, we don't see that. As if there are two different Abraham, with two different accounts, with two different stories, with two different information. No, it's the same Abraham. But Muhammad forgot what he said earlier. So here, I'm sorry. He did not leave the biggest one. It's a contradiction. If it is a true account, if it's a true story, Christy, every time you repeat it, you should mention that he left the biggest one. The other place, he did it behind the back. Here, he's doing everything. Was not behind the back. When we read verse 93, he was just destroying them by his right hand, not by the left hand. With one hand, Christy. Abraham was so macho, strong guy, and he was just using the right hand. He does not need his left hand. I mean, the details, the extra information Muhammad mentioned here, it's a comedy. In the same case, he tells a different story, with a different information. Did he or did he not?
Yeah, it's very, I mean, it gets very repetitive, this story, but the fact is it's different every time. So it's repeated,
exactly.
but it's different every
contradiction.
Time.
Contradiction.
Yeah.
Contradiction. Let's see 97. 97 is a verse, a new verse here. Go ahead.
They said, build a building for him. So they threw him into hell.
This is ridiculous, but what I love when you read the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir, this is not just a fireplace where they throw him into it. This is lots of months and months of work. People were cutting wood, Christy, for months and months. As if they're not going to burn just Abraham, they're going to burn Abraham and the rest of the world. I'm not kidding. That's like the hell of the eternity, okay? To the point, Christy, some ladies were making vows before Allah. Oh, Allah, if you bless me with a son. Not Allah, I mean the God, whatever God they worship. Every God is Allah. Lord God is Allah. Lord Allah is a God. If you bless me with a boy, I will cut some wood. I will chop some wood for the fire of Abraham. And somehow their gods helped them, and they got pregnant, and they have a baby boy. You're talking about 9 months, Christy. At least for some of these ladies,
yeah.
They make it a vow before Allah for 9 months because she has to get pregnant. She has to have the baby. Now she found the baby is a boy. Okay. Now, they start all cutting wood and collecting wood and piling the wood on the top of in that building. They made a building, okay? And in that building, they throw the wood, they throw the wood, they throw the wood. They make so much wood. Woo! As we read in the interpretation of the great Muslim called Ibn Kathir, that the people who threw Abraham into the fire, they were burned by the how huge the fire was. It was so hot, Christy. But what is so amazing, Ibn Kathir and others said, that his clothes, Abraham's clothes, did not smell like fire. Can you imagine that? I mean, when they threw him in the fire, he was there for days and days and weeks and weeks. As I shared with you in one of the previous study, and I don't know if last Saturday or the Saturday before, that his mom, oh, Abraham,
yeah.
Sweetheart, I miss you, young man. Well, I miss you too, mama. Would you please ask your Allah if he will make the fire safe for me, if he make it for you? I really want to come and visit with you. Oh, just a minute, mama. Oh, Allah, Allah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah. Allah said, what's going on, Abraham? My mama is outside. She missed me so much. She want to come and visit. Would you mind if you... Oh, sure. Okay, mama, come on in. The fire will not hurt you. And then his mama go inside the fire, and she smoke a cigarette with him, or maybe have a cup of hot tea with him, and then she leave the fire. And Abraham is still in the fire. And we know nothing about what happened to Abraham after he been thrown in the fire. So when you read verse 96-97 here, Christy, this is not just a simple verse that they build a huge building like a wall area and throw the wood in it and they find out. It's more than that. There's so much mystery. There's so much work. You're talking about tons and tons of wood, of fires, of trees, And people were doing all that because they hate Abraham. By the way, if you remember this from my book, Exposing the Truth About the Quran, the Revelation of Error, all the creatures mm-hmm. of the world were carrying water to stop the fire of Abraham, except the lizard. The lizard, Christy, as you know, mm-hmm. they were blowing air on the fire. When you do that, the fire gets hotter and hotter. That's why the Apostle Allah Muhammad, may Allah's prayer and Allah's peace be on him, and all his Muslim companions went throughout Saudi Arabia Peninsula killing every leather they can find. Because they know that leather was an evil creature. They are the one who blew air on the fire of Abraham. Wait a minute. If Abraham was 2,000 years, or actually more than 2,000 years, you talk about 2,500 years before Muhammad. Why Muhammad will kill the leather, which is the 2,500 years, generations later? These are not the same ones. It was their ancestors. But are you following the comedy of Allah and the comedy of Muhammad?
It's very crazy.
Now, they throw Abraham into the fire. I want you to go with me, as Christy, to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. The book of Daniel, chapter 3. And let's begin from verse 16. It's a nice story. We have not heard it in our Bible study since we were little children. So here's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are the three Jewish young men who refused to bow down to the statue or to worship the god of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Iraq. Okay, so let's see who was really throwing the fire. And the information which Ibn Kathir was sharing with us is exactly what we read about here in the book of, in the book of Daniel, the 3, beginning from verse 16. So go ahead, Christy.
Okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Want me to keep going?
Yes, ma'am.
"Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, the form of his vestige was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it wont be to be heated."
Do you hear the secrecy? Similarity between Abraham and Shadrach, Meshach.
Got to make fire.
Lots of wood. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. "And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego."
I wonder, did Ibn Kathir read the Daniel account when he was telling us about Abraham? Because in reality, Christy, when you read all what the Quran said about Abraham thrown to the fire, there's no details there. There's not any information about how much fire wood they put on the fire, or the people who throws Abraham in the fire, the fire, flame burns him and literally cause him to die from the heat of the fire. This is what is written in the book of Daniel. And Ibn Kathir and other Muslim scholars are quoting this for Abraham.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God."
I wonder, what do we learn from that? What is the story? What is the, not the story, the true biblical account which Muhammad and his great scholars are choosing to add it to Abraham? Now, read, read verse 26, because they did not stay in fire forever, as we see in Abraham.
Right.
I did not know what happened to Abraham. Literally, nobody have a clue. Did Abraham came out of the fire? Did anybody believe in Abraham and in the God of Abraham? Or what was the purpose of Allah to save Abraham in the fire if nobody would benefit from it? What happened in verse 26?
Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire. And the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them.
I know for sure, Christy, that Abacus here read Daniel 3:27 to tell us this is exactly, this is the same word which Abacus here used for Abraham. Not only Muhammad was confused between Abraham and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. No, his great scholar like Ibn Kathir continued to add from the same story, from the same biblical account, from the book of Daniel to add to Abraham.
Yeah. And that's because he was trying to explain. I mean, in case people don't know, Ibn Kathir was writing like a commentary about, as a scholar,
Abraham.
about Abraham. And so where did he go to get his details to explain what the Quran said? He went to the Bible.
And went what? It was the same story in the book of Daniel, which Muhammad copied from it about Abraham thrown into the fire.
Except this is about...
I mean, this is not coincidence.
No.
These scholars know how to add information to the counterfeit story of Muhammad. Now, read the next verse because it's very important. What do we learn from that lesson? Why God let allow this to happen? Why did the true God of the Bible allow Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego to be thrown into the fire? And why did he save their life?
Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God.
And verse 29.
Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort.
So now, Christy, we'll learn about why God allows this to take place in Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego's life. Why he allowed them to be thrown in the fire. Why did he save their life from the fire? Why the king saw Jesus Christ walking with them in the fire? Why when they came out, King Nebuchadnezzar make an order that their God is a true God to be worshipped and nobody can mock the God of the Jewish people. It makes sense. Now, you go to the Quran. Abraham was thrown to the fire. Yes, he had a cup of hot tea with his mama in the fire. Now, did he ever come out of the fire? What happened to the people of Abraham when they saw him walking out of the fire alive? Where is the king who gives the order? Where are the people who give the order for Abraham to be thrown to the fire? What do we learn from the life of Abraham? We learn nothing because the story is missing the details of the information. And if Muhammad will continue to go and he take everything out of the book of Daniel and slop it on Abraham, well, guess what? Then he got caught. Then he is really in trouble. Muhammad made up a story in the Quran about Abraham which have nothing to do with the truth. It's not a counterfeit. It is the foolish or the dumb counterfeit.
Well, I mean, it's not even the same I mean, it didn't even happen to Abraham. I mean, so the whole thing is trying to add something about somebody that it didn't happen to. But they took it out of the Bible to try and explain it. You know, you would think if they looked in the Bible, they would have noticed that it wasn't about Abraham. But I guess they just, you know, this is why all of it is so deceptive. It's a lie. It's false. The whole thing.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, let's move on back to the Quran, Christy, verse, Quran chapter 37. Ladies and gentlemen, we're reading the dumb counterfeit of the word of Allah in the Quran concerning Abraham, and we're verse 98.
So they desired a scheme against him, so we made them the lowest. And he said,
who are them? How can they become the lowest? What schemes they have against Abraham? Who are these people Muhammad is talking about or Allah is mentioning? I don't know if Allah was drunk or Jibreel was drunk or Muhammad was drunk to make up this poetry, because there's no point. What is the point? Where are these people? Who are they? What happened to them before, in the middle, and after? They became in the lowest. And lowest where?
Who, what, where, when, and how? That's what you're supposed to
ask. There's no answer
for
this question.
Sorry.
These are questions for people. That's why Allah in Quran 5, verse 101 said, do not ask. Don't ask.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
If you ask any question, Christy, as you read the word of Allah in the Quran, Allah have no answer. Muhammad have no answer. Muslim scholars have no answer. Now, verse 99.
And he said, surely I am going to my Lord. He will guide me.
You mean he was not guided already? 100. Now Abraham is going to pray a prayer. Go ahead.
My Lord, grant me from the good.
Wait a minute. Did Abraham really ask Allah to grant him from the good? If we go to Genesis account, did Abraham ask God, the God of the Bible, to give him a son at his old age? Or did God promise him that in that time, if you go to when we talk about, remember when Sarah laughed?
Yeah, he said,
because
God
the Lord,
told him.
Genesis 18,
yeah.
In this time, in next year's this time, I will come and Sarah,
right,
your wife will have a son. She heard from inside the tent and she laughed.
Right.
Because she said, how can I'm an old woman and my husband is an old man? How can we have a son? It's a comedy. But here, Abraham is asking Allah to give him a son. Okay, good. So go ahead, verse 101.
So we gave him the good news of a forbearing young man.
Forbearing young man. Now, if we will read the following verses, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about these are the verses of Ishmael, then we have to stop again. Because the Bible was very clear that Ishmael will be a harsh man, a wild donkey, his hand against everybody and everybody's hand against him, a hunter, a fighter, a wild man. I think I said enough. Verse 101 is not talking about Ishmael. Verse 101 is talking about Isaac. And I'm going to prove it to you as we continue to read the passage. He was a forbearing young man, not a wild young man, okay? Go ahead.
So when he came to the age of walking with him, he said, my son, surely I see in my sleep that I am slaughtering you. So see what you see. He said, oh, my father, do what you are commanded. You will find me among the patient if Allah wills.
Are you out of your mind? If it is me, I am a young man, I guess 8, 9 years old, and my father, I'm walking with my father, I'm talking to my father, and my father say, oh, you saw me? I say, yeah, daddy. I saw in my dream, while I'm asleep, that I'm slaughtering you. So what do you think, son? I said, Dad, you are crazy or you're nuts. You must be stupid. It's just a stupid dream. Thank you. Goodbye. No. That's not the answer here. That's good for being a young man. Oh, my father, do whatever you're commanded. If Allah will, I will be patient. I will let you cut my head off. Are you out of your mind? Is this a biblical account Christy would read in Genesis? Is this what happened when Abraham offered his son Isaac?
No, it didn't work like that. Yeah.
Let's go back to the Bible. Okay. Let's go back to the Bible.
All right.
We have no problem. Let's go to Genesis account.
Right.
I believe it's Genesis 21 or 22. I can't remember exactly. But thank God we got the Bible here. I think it's 22. If I'm wrong, we'll go back to 21. Yep, 22. Read to me what happened.
All right. I got to go to 22, which I'm in 22 now.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for verse 1. Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, I'm here.
Whoa, here I am.
Sorry.
Wait, Christy.
Yes?
Was Abraham asleep? Was he dreaming?
No.
You mean this is real conversation between God and Abraham, and God told Abraham, or he was dreaming?
No, he wasn't dreaming. God spoke to him. Yep.
He was awake. Abraham is awake. Okay, go ahead. Read verse 2 for me.
And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of.
Notice, Christy, the information is how you feel like. It is actually, we know the location. We can always put the Bible on the map.
Yeah.
We can always find the geography of every biblical account. In the Quran, can you tell me where this took place?
When he said,
Oh, my son, I see in my dream. Okay. We have no idea. Now, Genesis account is the real biblical account. Muhammad account, the Quran, is the comedy account. So go ahead. Keep going.
And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went on to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?
Wait a minute, Christy. It was not Abraham who told his son, I saw last night in my dream, I'm slaughtering you. And the son said, do whatever you're commanded to Allah, Daddy, and by Allah's will, you will find me patient, and I will just let you go ahead and cut my head off. Is this the same conversation we have here?
No.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Go ahead.
Yeah, Isaac doesn't know. Where's the slam? What are we doing? He doesn't know.
Yes.
And Abraham said, My son, God will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me.
Notice here, who is the angel of the Lord here? That is Jesus Christ himself. Even in the same verse, he said, I know you trust God, and you did not, he did not withhold thy son, thy only son, from me.
Yes, the Lord.
So you believe God the Father. You did not hold your son from me. I am the Son, Jesus Christ. This is so powerful.
Yeah.
So powerful. Keep going.
And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham
called that place?
I am going to tell you, it's going to be hard for me to say. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen.
Amen. Jehovah Jireh. Yahweh Yarah. Yahweh Yarah. Anyway, it is the true biblical account to what happened concerning the sacrifice of Abraham to his son Isaac. Now let's go back to the comedy word of Allah of the Quran. So he said to his son in verse 102 of Quran chapter 77, O my son, I see my dreams, I'm slaughtering you. See what you see, what you think, son. Oh, dad, you do whatever you command. You will find me, if Allah will, of the patience. I will just let you go ahead and cut my head off. Okay. And the whole thing starts with a dream. Now, verse 103.
So when they surrendered and he had laid him down on his jabin, and we
laid him down on what? Whoa. Laid him down on what? We don't have
jabin.
The permission. Did he lay him down on a couch? Did he lay him down on a chair? Did he lay him down on the bed? Did he lay him down on a big rock? Where did he lay him down?
What is jabin?
His side. It's an Arabic word. On his side.
Okay. Because I don't know what it is. I thought maybe that was the thing he laid him on. No, we don't know what he
No. On his, can sleep on your back, Christy, on the bed. You can sleep on your right side, the left side. You sleep on your face. He laid him on his side, okay? No.
Okay.
But the funny thing is, where is the altar? Muhammad does not know anything about altar.
Yeah.
When Muslims offer sacrifices every year in the big feast after Ramadan, the next feast, which is called Eid al-Adha, the sacrifice feast festival, they all kill cows and camels, which is unlawful, by the way, and goats and sheep in the streets, and slaughter over the streets. Some of them here in New York slaughter the sheep on the top of the roof. They went on the top of the building and they slaughtered the sheep all in the street.
Wow.
As savage people would do.
It's bad.
And I wonder, why the children of the Muslims we grow up to be good jihadi and slaughter Christian and Jew and other men. Because they grow up all their life, since they were like 4 years old, 3 years old, seeing papa or grandpa slaughtering sheep and cow and camel in the street. And I wonder, Christy, how many Americans in their lifetime have ever seen somebody slaughter a cow or any creature? I wonder if any, how many Americans have seen somebody in this life, or even in today, in the year 2021, seen somebody slaughter a chicken. But in the Middle East, where I come from, killing cows and sheep and camels in the streets in the by the hundreds in front of children. That's why the children grow up to be savage, like their parents are savage. But instead of they kill chicken or kill cow or kill camels, they kill people. They slaughter people with a knife in their hand like we kill chicken.
Yeah.
Verse 104.
And we called him, O Abraham, indeed you have believed the vision. Likewise.
What?
We
Once again. It was not a vision. It was not a dream. It would be stupid. It would be foolish of Abraham just to dream that Allah asked him to kill his son and he wouldn't kill his son. It was utterly talk. God spoke to Abraham, as we just read in Genesis 22.
Yes.
Go ahead. Finish 105 and 106.
Indeed, you have believed the vision. Likewise, we surely reward the doers of good. Surely, this is a clear trial.
It was not a clear trial. It was a dumb dream. Abraham should never do anything about it. Now, how Allah saved his son? Verse 107.
And we redeemed him with a great sacrifice.
Oh, redemption. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذَبْحٍ. I thought Muslims do not believe in the sacrifice of blood for redemption. But guess what? Oh. Muhammad made a boo-boo. Muhammad made a boo-boo. Or maybe Allah or Jibreel made the boo-boo. Because here we go in 107, Quran chapter 67, there is redemption in the Quran. Sacrifice was offered instead of his son, Isaac. Allah offered another sacrifice, and it was a great sacrifice. And the word Azim is one of the names of Allah.
Wow.
Great sacrifice. Maybe that's a picture of Jesus Christ, God Almighty, who died on the cross to save us, to deliver us, to redeem us from our sins. 108.
And we left him among the others.
What is that? What is we left him among the others? Left who among other who? Do you understand that these words, Christy? Three words, there are four words here. What does that mean to you in English?
I don't know. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Don't worry. Neither Muslim scholars know what it is, because Allah's Quran is very clear. You need some fabrication to understand every verse. Not interpretation, fabrication. Because you cannot interpret it. But that is the words Muhammad used for every prophet. Okay? 109.
Peace be on Abraham.
Keep going.
Likewise, we reward the doers of good.
Wow.
Surely. Surely he is of our believing servants.
Now, listen carefully to the following verse.
Oh, this one's important.
112 is a very powerful verse.
Yeah.
And
we gave him the good news of Isaac, a prophet among the good.
So whom Allah was speaking about in the previous 10 verses?
Yeah.
Who is the son?
Isaac.
Who is the son? Oh, my son I see in my dream. Which son? Was it Ishmael or Isaac?
It's got to be Isaac according to this, which is actually, it was
because
Isaac.
You don't introduce a new character. And by the way, when you go read some Muslim English translator of the Quran, they added the word the birth of Isaac. And we gave the birth of Isaac, or the news of the birth of Isaac, as if Isaac was not born yet. So who is the sacrificed son? It was Ishmael. And who is the son who's going to be born? It's going to be Isaac. No, the birth of Isaac is a hogwash. It is a propaganda. It's a lie from the bottom of hell. For Muslims who translate the Quran that way. He was talking about the son whom he will be talking about for the last hour, and it is Isaac. And read the
last
verse.
And we blessed on him and on Isaac, and from their offspring, an obvious doer of good and unjust to himself.
I don't understand these words. It doesn't mean anything, but Allah blessed Abraham and Allah blessed Isaac and their descendants, okay? Now, who is Ishmael here? Even if Muhammad was talking about Ishmael in the previous verses, don't you think he should be rewarded for being obedient to his daddy and, oh, my dad, do whatever you're commanded? I mean, you don't say, and we blessed Ishmael too because he was a good boy and he did not fight his daddy when his daddy tried to slaughter him. He was patient by Allah's will.
They never mentioned Isaac here.
It was
never mentioned.
The story from the beginning to the end is Isaac had nothing to do with Ishmael. Now, let me give you my evidence. Now, when you read the story, Christy, when you read the story, from the beginning, in verse 102, his son, the one he saw the dream slaughtering, was walking with his father, and he was talking with his father. I mentioned earlier, 8, 9, 10 years old. Now, when you read the scholars' interpretation and Muhammad hogwash propaganda in the hadith, he would tell you that Abraham took Hagar and his son Ishmael all the way to Mecca, 2,100 miles away, okay? He took them there, or whatever, 1,400 miles away, long trip, hours and hours and hours. And he left them there while his son Ishmael was still breastfeeding of his mother. That means Ishmael has to be less than 2 years old. This is the Muhammad's own words. Now, if this young man here, which he's about to slaughter, was walking with his daddy and was talking with his daddy, there's no way under the blue sky that that son is actually Ishmael. It had to be Isaac. Even though Muhammad got the whole story wrong, because Ishmael was 17 years old when he was kicked out. And Isaac, at the time of being asked by God after Ishmael is gone to be slaughtered, he had to be a young man, 12, 13 years old, maybe older than that. But forget about the details, because Muhammad knew nothing about the details. Well, good luck for Allah or Muhammad or Jibreel to even answer the simple question about the age or the name of the person he's talking about in the Quran. The Quran is very clear that this son, whom Abraham talked with, was walking with his father and talking with his father. There is no way that this happened in the life of Ishmael before he was 2 years old, because before 2 years old, he was already gone with his mother his mother Hagar in Mecca. Unless you can tell me a year and a half old boy can walk and talk with his dad and say these wonderful things, oh, my father, do whatever you're commanded. Surely, if Allah will, you'll find me of the patience. I'm sorry. This is like a comedy. This is like a comedy. So the obvious conclusion, Christians, the sacrificed son, according to the Quran, chapter 37, in the propaganda hogwash story of Abraham, is Isaac, not Ishmael, as all Muslims or many Muslims claim. I hope this clarifies this point very well. And Lord is willing, next Saturday, if we do not have a guest, or if we have time after we have a guest, we're going to move on to Quran chapter 38 to talk a little bit more about Abraham and the rest of the nonsense stories of Abraham. Right now we're on page 25 of notes I have in my computer here, of 33. 25 of 33.
Wow.
That means we still have 8 pages to go to cover the nonsense, the propaganda, the hogwash, the foolishness of Allah, Jibreel, and Muhammad concerning Abraham in the Quran. I think our time is up, Chris. We still have actually 2 minutes, so I'll let you talk for 2 minutes. See how nice I am? I'll give you 2 full minutes to say whatever you wish, whatever you desire. Go ahead, Christy.
Well, I just want to say thank you to our friend, Duck Northwest Media. He enjoyed our program, and we appreciate him joining us, and our friend Ted in the chat room. And we just want to say, please share. We do the show, this is our 15th 15 years now. So we would love to have the word passed along. We have the goal of reaching Muslims for Christ and exposing the Quran and its falsehood and its errors is one way that Muslims are leaving Islam. And we pray that they will then realize the Bible, the biblical account is true, and Jesus is the Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, I am a little bit tired, so unless you want to share something else, Christy, we can go ahead and close our program for tonight a minute earlier, 2 minutes earlier. But don't forget, guys, keep this great country in your prayers. It is a new year for the after the birth of the scripture, which we'll be celebrating for all these years. And I hope and I pray that the Lord Jesus will give us another chance to correct the direction of this country and we can move on to the right direction. My prayer is more of the truth about the wicked Democrats will be exposed in the next every day, in the next week, in the next month, until midterm election. We're hoping and I pray the Lord will give us victory and return this country to its logic, its common sense. Because if we keep going the way we're going, there is no America left for our children or our grandchildren. As a matter of fact, there's no America left for Kamala Harris to take over 3 years from now. Believe me.
Amen.
So God
bless you. True.
Keep us in prayer. Share this radio broadcast with others. And hopefully next week we're going to have some guest speaker. But I know for sure the following week, Sam Shimon will be with us in the entire 2 hours as we take advantage of him being with us, and we'll ask him to share whatever the Lord put in his heart, or we just make it maybe a question-answer session. We can ask him all the hard questions. Hopefully we can give him a hard question he will not have an answer for. Just kidding. Anyway, love you guys. Appreciate you. Keep me in your prayer. Keep this country in prayer, and you have a wonderful good night, Christy.
Thank you, Usama. God bless you all, and go to church and spend some time praying, seriously praying.
Good night.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now, perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of revealing the truth about Islam.